If you're married and in business, or you're about to start a business, then this is the episode of Beyond the Rut for you. Welcome to Beyond the Rut, the podcast that shares encouraging stories and practical advice to help pull you out of your rut into a life worth living in your faith, family, and career. I'm your host, Jerry Dugan, and in this episode, we're going to be joined by a power couple, Robert and Kay Lee Fukui. Now, they are the authors of a book called Tandem, The Married Entrepreneur's Guide for Greater Work-Life Balance. They're also the host of Thriving in Tandem, the podcast. Now, I got to be a guest on their show, and then we decided, let's have you on our show, because one of the big things that we talk about in Beyond the Rut is how important family is. And many of us are pursuing our financial dreams, our career goals, our business goals, whatever it is. However, we sometimes do that without paying attention to what's going on with the relationships that matter most to us. So I had them come on board and talk about, you know, how do they get together? Like, what is their meet cute story? But then we get past that because we want to dive into what's called the three pillars for work-life harmony, and really about getting more time for what matters most. And that, again, is the relationships you have in this life. Now, business is important. It does fund the life we want to have, but it's not the end goal. So how do you succeed in business or succeed in your career, applying the three pillars for work-life harmony, and then ultimately live a life where you do find that success in your relationships? So if that sounds great to you, sit back, relax, grab a notebook and a pen. Unless you are driving, then pay attention, and then come back to this episode with a notebook and a pen. Here we go. All right, Robert, Kay Lee, it's great to see you guys again. How are you doing?
Hey, I feel like old friends, Jerry.
Hi, right? Jerry. Hey. We're so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, awesome. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I got to meet you through another friend of ours, Amber Cullum. She's the host of Grace Enough podcast. And I know you were connected with her to see if you would be a great fit for her show. And I guess she panicked and threw you to me. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to be a great fit. So we wound up doing that podcast swap. So I had a chance to be on your show, Power Up Your Marriage and Business, because you're married, you're entrepreneurs, you're working business together, and you help other couples do the same thing. How do you run a business and preserve and strengthen your marriage at the same time? Yeah. I love that. Cool. Now, y'all asked me what was my meet cute story, and I told you on your show, but I didn't get a chance to ask you, how did you both meet? Like, what is your meet cute story? And I did not prepare y'all for that, so.
And I'm not prepared to answer that, honey, so go ahead.
Oh, you don't know how it happened?
She was like, I was there.
Do you remember?
It was pretty easy. I don't know if it's meet cute. Well, the initial meetup, maybe it wasn't cute, it was online. Mm-hmm. So we were both on doing this Christian dating site.
Oh, okay.
But the actual physical meet, I don't know if you call it cute, but it's definitely a story.
Okay, now I want to know. I really, really want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know, right? So I was on this Christian dating site. So I got this in my AOL spam inbox. So that kind of dates this when this happened. I saw on the subject line, meet Christian singles. So I wasn't even going to church at the time, even though I'm a pastor's kid. So that's another story.
That's about normal though, right?
No. I click on it, and it says meet is a Christian dating site. So I was like, oh, I think my mom would like me to meet a nice Christian lady. And so that was my motivation, right? And then I clicked on it, kind of browsed through some of the profiles, and I said, oh, these women look pretty normal. And so I decided to take a leap. And long story short, you know, her profile, Kaylee's profile, is one of the ones that interests me. So I messaged her through the system, and it took about 3 weeks that she finally responded.
Yeah, my girlfriends were all doing online except for me. And then when I joined, you put a picture up and your profile and all that, you get free days. So I would just go on the free days to check to see if anybody had emailed me. And so by the time I got back up to him, it was 3 weeks later.
Yeah. So it took so long that I was like, who is this? And then I reread her profile. I was like, okay, it reminded me who she was. And then we got on the phone because I would email her, and it wasn't long, but three paragraphs or so of an email, just trying to get to know her. And she'd always respond, you know, something like, yeah, that's nice.
A couple sentences. Come on now, honey. Maybe three.
Like two sentences.
Write me these beautiful emails, and I loved them. I'm just not a big email responder. I mean, I'll respond, but I'm not going to write like three paragraphs like you did.
So I'm like, all right, let's get on the phone. And then, so we got on the phone within probably a few days or so. And then within a week, we decided, hey, let's meet up. Let's have dinner. And so we had dinner on the pier in Ventura. And then, yeah, that's when things got, you know, it gave me a snapshot of what I was getting into that first date, I think.
It wasn't easy for him by any means.
Like, did you hit him with a questionnaire or?
No, that's actually the opposite. So you're just trying to get to know her. So one of the, you know, kind of normal questions you ask is, oh, so what do you do? And she responds, she just says, oh, I work in our family business. And I asked her, oh, what kind of business do you have? And she says, oh, we sell dog food. And I said, is that it? Just dog food? Or do you have cat food and other, do you sell other things besides dog food? So no, just dog food. So then I asked her, okay, so do you sell retail or wholesale? You know, I have a marketing background, so I'm just trying to figure out what kind of business is this?
And so she's like speaking retail. Your love language in a way, like, oh, we're talking business now. I got this.
And so she said, we just sell retail. And I'm thinking, I've never seen a store that just sold dog food. So I'm like, this is really, I've heard a niche, but this is really niche.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of all I got from her was, we have a retail store that sells dog food.
I didn't want to say too much because in the past I've gone out with people. We have a family business. It's really easy to find me. And I remember one time I went out with a dentist, and then the next day he shows up at my work with coffee and a donut, which sounds really nice and it's lovely. But I felt so uncomfortable, like him just showing up out of the blue. And I didn't want it to happen again. It actually had happened more than once. And so I didn't want it to happen again. So I just kind of tried to just throw it out there. So, I didn't want to give him too many clues.
So that, right, that statement right there.
Didn't want to give too many clues. Yes. Whereas so my wife was dropping all the clues and I was missing all of them for 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
she, even, she even said, like, ask me out. And you're like, to where?
Huh?
Like, what? So it turns out they have a feed store was the business. And so, you know, that makes more sense. And so after dinner, you know, take a walk along the pier, you know, it's after dinner, walking along the pier, have a little romantic stroll. And I walk her to her car. And so I said, oh, you know, I had a really good time. And she responds, you know, oh, so did I. So I asked her, so do you want to do this again? And she goes,
Jerry's cracking up over there, honey.
Sorry. Yeah. No, that took me back a different date. Way back to high school, the girl I'd asked to prom, like I thought it was a nice date, but I didn't, she gave me like a cryptic response, like have your people call my people. And I translated that as, I don't think she liked going out. So this is sort of like the I'm inviting you, but not thing. And yeah, people told me years later, no, she was asking you to ask her out again. I'm like,
see, so why? Here's what I did. Yeah. All those things are going through my head too.
My marketing husband.
And it's an hour back to my house. She lived in Ventura on the coast. I live in Pasadena, which is on a good day is an hour. So I'm thinking, I don't want to be driving home after this date trying to figure out what does she mean, right? So I figure, and you know, 25 years in sales, I'm like, okay, I just want to close this deal one way or the other, yes or no. I'm good with either answer, but I just need a concrete answer so I have peace of mind. So I said, well, I'll be back in town on Wednesday. So you want to go out again? And she hemmed and hawed.
I didn't know, because you know, something else might come up. You know, I don't want to like commit and then like.
Yep, but she said yes.
Finally, I said yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Until I said yes.
So, you know, you know, with the work we do, like with our couples, one of the key things is conflict communication. And one of the things we assume a lot, but we don't clarify to get the facts. And so I just decided, let's just clarify, get the facts. And so it worked out.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because we'll take the time to get that clarity in a business transaction, but we don't always take the time to get that clarity in an actual personal lifelong commitment type of relationship. And so that's, I see that. Sorry. Kaylee, I cut you off.
I was just going to say, it doesn't get much easier after that either. They were all dating. But anyways.
And how many years altogether has it been, like, that you've been together and been married? I think you mentioned it a moment ago, but
we've been together 19 years, married 17.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. And, you know, that's about the time frame when AOL was still around doing, I guess, is AOL still around?
I don't know.
I think technically it is.
Kind of, right? They got a website and
yeah.
They don't send us CD-ROMs anymore. I kind of miss.
Of course you do, Jared.
I have yours still.
All the Gen Z audience, all four of them are like, what is he talking about? CD-ROM. They used to mail that to you? Yes, kids, they did. It was the coolest thing. Well, before that, they would send you a floppy disk, the 3.5-inch hard plastic, you know, quotes, floppy disk.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, but I think I'm slightly older than y'all. Not a whole lot, but slightly.
I don't think so.
Really? I'm 47.
Well, I'm 55.
Dang it. Y'all look younger than me.
it's the beauty of the video, right?
There we go. We'll go with that. I'll take that. Oh, man. Now, the big reason why we got you on here, and thanks for sharing your story with me, because, I mean, I think a lot of, you know, couples, especially when they've been together for a while, they've got a story behind them, what got them started, why they're committed to each other for so long, what drives them, and so on. And now you both have a business where you help other people who are in business and they're married succeed both in business and in their marriage. Because, you know, what's the point of having one if you're going to lose the other, right?
Right, exactly.
And so what was it that drove you to say, this is the thing we're going to help people with?
So, long story short, I was in marketing and sales with Fortune 100 companies for the bulk of my career. But then about, you know, I guess hit midlife crisis in my 40s and was asking the question, what I really want to do for the rest of my life. And I started to think about, and even though having a business was never on my radar, but I started to entertain that idea. And part of it, maybe you plan to see when we're dating about, oh, I can see you having a business, even though I said, no, heck no, that's too much risk. I'm not a risk taker. But yeah, I started entertaining the idea. And so I was thinking, okay, what kind of business would it be? So I kind of had a list of all the industries and I just checked them off one by one. Nope. So I go thinking, okay, that didn't get me anywhere. So I decided, well, you know, I've got marketing experience. So why don't I do some marketing consulting on the side, help different types of business, and then maybe I'll find a business I want to land on. And so I looked at it as kind of like paid market research in a sense. And so one business after another, it just turned out that I really liked the consulting experience and really helping these businesses, you know, the small privately held family business, help them improve. And I really enjoyed the, you know, the experience that they got and to so much of that, you know, when you help improve their business, it wasn't just like in Fortune 100, it's just keeping the shareholders happy. And then the next quarter is what have you done for me lately? But to see the depth of the impact it makes on a family business and how it impacts their lives and their employees and all that kind of stuff, it really felt more gratifying. So I decided, hey, this is what I want to do. And then 6 years ago, I finally left the confines of the, you know, the comfortable corporate life and do it full time. And all doing business consulting. But then what happened was, as you start to get to know the clients, they'd start to talk about their personal lives. And inevitably, it came to marriage because most business owners are married. I think the statistic is 71% of business owners are married. And, you know, even if the spouse wasn't working in the business, the marriage life started to come up and how much of stress was going on because essentially they're just working really hard in the business. And that was one of the first things I noticed with these small businesses early on was when they're, you know, hire me to help them marketing, as I looked at their business as a whole, I saw that they were working way too hard. There's some just basic systems and processes they could have in place that would make it more efficient, that would actually make it more profitable and increase the margin, not just of money, but of time. And they're just working way too hard. And so what was happening was the concentration, the focus, and the time and energy put into the business was negatively impacting home. And so that's when I was like, you know, something's going on here. And we just naturally would coach them with some relationship stuff because we went to 2 years of counseling ourselves before we even got married. I mean, pretty much our entire dating life, we were in counseling because, you know, Kaylee had the bright idea that I should go to counseling a month after we'd met. A month after that first date, she says, oh, you should go to counseling.
There seems to be a pattern emerging here.
And that's in the book. But so anyways, all the experience we had through that in counseling and communication and conflict, we would kind of pass to our clients. And then that's when I just said, honey, I think there's something going on here. And I think we need to tackle this head on because I don't really see any resources for married entrepreneurs to how to do marriage and business well. It's either one or the other, right? Yeah. You either go to marriage counselor or you go to get a business consultant, but neither of them can really empathize with the other part of their life. And in fact, that's what our clients, the new clients, as they're coming in this, I mean, they're finding us on Google and that's what they're saying is they need help on both sides. But when they go to counselor, they really can't understand the business side of things and the pressure and stress that's having. And if they go to a business consultant, they can't empathize with the marriage side. You know, it's all about just bucking up on the other side. Hey, let's focus on this. And so you're focusing on one or the other, and there's that tension. And so that's where about 4 years ago, we decided to really focus on this.
And I love that. And it's that working smarter, not harder. And one of the things that we talked about before we got on here was that you really notice that businesses get stuck in a rut because they operate on such a low margin, that whole concept of bootstrapping and hustling. How does that keep us stuck in a rut? Like, what's that detriment? Because you hear a lot of great rags to riches stories about that business owner who bootstrapped and hustled and got it done. And now they've got a 7-figure business. And that's all the story they usually tell you, because it probably had a higher cost than that, I'm sure. But what is it that operating on a low margin does to a business and to a person?
Yeah, you know, a lot of businesses, and even if they're not operating on a low margin, I think a lot of business owners get stuck in a rut of just working and hustling because that's what they've been told and it's been indoctrinated. And so they don't know anything else. And so basically they accept the status quo, right? I mean, that's essentially what stuck in a rut is. You're just accepting life as it is and not looking to do something different or to change the outcome or to change your circumstance. But a lot of business owners most businesses are working on low margins. I mean, I think the average net profit margin in America for all businesses across all industries is about 6%. And that's net. After all the expenses are paid and your payroll and all that, 6%. And that's not enough to give you enough to continue reinvest into the business to improve, right? Because over time, you always have to improve, whether it's updating your hardware, software, finding ways. I mean, there's always new technology, how you can make your business more efficient, right? And so when you're operating on low margin, it forces you to have to fill the gap, which is more time, right? Because you don't have the capital to hire more people for more help, invest into different aspects of the operation to make things more efficient, so you can actually operate on a better margin. And so that's the short of it.
And I think a lot of that too is people are underpriced. Like, we want to be a lot of times we hear clients say, we want to be the lowest. We're going to give you the best quality service, but we want to be the lowest. But when you go in with that mindset, how are you going to be able to, like Robert said, reinvest into your company, hire more people, get a coach, you know, take a class, get some consulting, you know, different things like that. Come up with new ideas and inventions, because you're so busy putting all these fires and doing all these other things yourself that you don't have the time to reinvest back in, as opposed to charging for what you're, you know, the going rate or what you think you're worth. Because how many times have we seen a business go out and there's something we really liked, our product or service, and I say to myself, oh my gosh, I would have been willing to pay more for that. I really like that. And it's gone. It happens all the time in restaurants.
I see it myself in my own business. In fact, I was talking with one of my coaches. He runs a mastermind group, and we were talking kind of like the state of where BTR Impact is right now. What is it I'm looking to do? Like, what's my focus for the next 6 months? That kind of thing. Like, what's going to be the core of the business? And he just asked some simple questions. And it was like, you know, what do you charge for a full day workshop? That was the question, because that's my focus, is I offer up a full day workshop for teaching leaders a framework I came up with called TENT to help you boost engagement of your employees and hopefully retain them to keep them from leaving your organization. And then you don't have to do their jobs and you get to come home early, that kind of thing. And he's like, great. So what do you charge for that full day workshop? And I told him the price in front of this whole group. And in my head, I was expecting him to say, wow, that much? Like, are you crazy? That was the reaction I was expecting from him, because I just came up with a workshop, you know, 2 months ago from the time you and I have talked here on this show. But when I told him the price for the full day workshop, he said, okay, and you do like a half day or even a keynote, right? What's the price of that? So I told him the price of that, and he goes, huh, okay. So you got room to grow on both of those. You got a lot of potential there, was his polite way of saying you're undercharging. That was his like quick reaction to what I had told him is my pricing for the full day workshop and the half day workshop. So if you're listening to this right when I release it, guys, maybe now's the time to reach in before I realize.
Book them now.
Before I realize the value I'm really bringing to the table. The margin, though, that does make sense, though, because like, if you're not making enough money and you get this pressure to hustle more, to make more, it's easy to think that the way I make more is not to raise my price, but I've got to do more marketing. I've got to get, you know, beat more bushes and knock on more doors and answer it with more volume. But how do I do that? I do it with more time. And if I'm spending more time marketing, you know, it leads to that next question. What am I taking time away from? And I think y'all have the answer to that too.
Yeah. I mean, time is money. And if, you know, when we have choices, wherever we spend our time, obviously it's costing us somewhere else. And so we're always looking at how do you do better with what you're putting in, your time and money. You know, in business, it's time and money, pure and simple, right? It's time and money. So how do you get a better return with the time and money you're putting in? It's not about filling up the volume. And so, in fact, you know, it is actually possible that you can, your sales can grow and your profits decline mm-hmm. because they don't really have a really handle on the numbers. And so because you're working on more, because you're not willing to raise the price, so then what happens is more time and more resources get put in to creating the volume. So even in marketing, they might spend more money in Google ads or whatever ads, or hiring another marketing consultant or the agency. They put more time and money and resources into growing volume that it actually starts to cut into their margin and they don't realize it.
You talk about things like not just, you know, business boundaries and business goals and strategy, but you also talk about boundaries between, you know, when do you work? How much do you work? And then when do you turn that towards, okay, now spending time with the people who matter most, or getting time with the people who matter most. And that is huge. I mean, a lot of people, like you said, don't do that. And, you know, I've worked in organizations where the executive got in at 8 or 9 in the morning and easily stayed till 8 or 9 at night. And it's like, wow, you got the title, you got the pay, but where's the life? And, It's not worth it for me.
It's tough on the family, because growing up as a third generation entrepreneur, as a child, my dad worked 6 days a week. I don't even think he was at my high school graduation to this day. And business became the mistress. So then it's like we started to resent it because, you know, it took up all his time and he wasn't around. And it was really tough on our family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that impacts succession, because mm-hmm. we've had a number of clients where we ask about succession and, you know, looking for the kids to potentially take over. And there's a couple that would said, I don't think they want part of business. And so I would ask the question, why? And as we explored it, as we kind of picked it apart, we just heard, you know, what did it take to raise, to build the business and all that. And it basically came down to what Kaylee is saying, is they spent so much time in the business that the children were resenting the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one client, this is one of our earlier clients, and I told her, I said, well, keep the door open, number one. I said, the relationship can be repairable, but I said, bring them in as part of the solution of not having to work so hard, because I guarantee you, because the oldest daughter was about in college at the time, I said, I guarantee if you ask them, you know, what would you different in the business, they'll have some answers.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so bring them in as part of the solution, and then you never know what's going to happen from there. And so this client just had a big anniversary celebration for one, you know, coming to America from China, and also the business, I think 20 years in business, something like that. And a big party, big celebration. And she brings her two kids up to the stage and says, and it's, I'm proud to say that they're both working in the business. And then we kind of already knew that, because we were in charge of doing some of the business card issues and some of the marketing collateral. And I knew the kids were starting to come in. But when she said that, I was like, oh, I remember that conversation that the both of her kids are working in the business. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. So it can be repaired, but it does take intention and allowing them to be part of the solution. And so instead of saying, oh, you're just a dumb kids and you just got to do it my way, because a lot of times when even if the kids want to take over, we've seen this issues where the parents are transitioning the business over to them, but they don't give them the authority to make any decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that undermines the whole transition to succession. And a lot of times the kids actually back out.
Yeah. And it's irony, because they actually are owning the business. However, they're not owning the business in a sense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in corporate America, when I talk to leaders about how do you engage your employees, it's conveying that sense of ownership that they feel that they, even though they don't physically and financially own the building and the business itself, they have a sense of ownership over why the business operates, who the industry or the business helps. And that sense of ownership has to be there. And if they don't have it, then yeah, it's just a thing, and they don't have to be there. That's powerful. Now, you talk about, you know, three pillar strategy to help people build businesses for growth and freedom. Because we're talking about, you know, why do we get into business for ourselves? Why do we become self-employed? It isn't because we want to work more hours, work harder, and not have any sort of quality of life. So what are these three pillars and how do they help us have that, that work-life harmony where it's like, you know what, I did make a good choice to start this business and be with my family.
Yeah. Kind of alluded to earlier. So there's time and money. That's mm-hmm. what takes it to start and run and grow a business, time and money. And the third pillar really is performance, basically the KPIs. So you want to maximize or get the best return on the time you put into the business and also the money that you're spending, right? Look at when I look at the profit and loss statement, because we always analyze the financial statements, but as we look at that, the expenses, we don't look at it as an expense. Sorry, dog's kind of wanting to do some things.
I had to tell my cat to go because she was going to do the same thing. I'm like, no, you can't stay here, Bailey.
I don't look at the expense like the way people look at it. I look at it as an investment. Every money you spend in the business should be looked at as an investment. And so there should be some type of return. So you got to quantify, what does that mean? What the kind of return is? Is it a return on increasing more time? You know, are you getting more margin of time? Or are you getting more money or what? Like a marketing expense. A lot of times businesses, they're so hesitant in spending money in marketing because they look at it as an expense. But I'm like, no, it's supposed to be an investment in sales, right? So you just got to, if you measure the return, right? 5X, 10X or whatever marketing dollar you spend, do you want a 5X, 10X return? What is it? So as you're going along, you can measure that to see if it's working or not based on what your expected return is. Right. Okay. So even with an expense, like, you know, when I paid money to sign up for my Calendly account, you know, it's not an expense, it's a return on time.
Yeah.
Right. You know how much time it can take to try and coordinate calendars.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So that frees up time to be able to do other things, more high margin, high growth activities, but you got to be able to get a sign a metric to that. So, even like a classic one I always talk about, so like everybody does is like emails. And so probably most businesses are doing some kind of email marketing. And if you're already doing some kind of email marketing to potentially get sales, then instead of trying to send out more emails, for example, to get more sales, I said, what if you increase your open rate? So if you're already getting sales generated from emails, if you increase your open rate, right, you're just going to get more sales.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to know to do anything different other than figure out how to get people to open the emails more. So instead of 20% to 30%, and a lot of that is just by the copy you put on a subject line, right? It's just getting people to open. And then the next phase is how do you get a higher percentage of the click through? So your click through rate, right? And it's not so much about sending more emails, putting more effort and time into it, but it's improving the metric, right? Improving the performance of what you're doing. And so that's just, you know, a small example of looking at where you're spending your time and money and then measuring the performance of that. And then you look at that and go, okay, if I just increase a percentage points here and there on the different performances, I can increase the outcome of the business.
Okay.
And a lot of times it doesn't take much because you start accumulating all these percentages and it could be a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, one of our clients, they were hemorrhaging, you know, seven figures a year. And so the way we were able to turn it around, and they were the classic, we need more sales, we need more sales. And I said, no, you just need better margins.
Yes.
So we looked at every aspect of the business, you know, especially in the marketing area. And we just looked at where can we increase price and where can we improve the metrics of, you know, increasing the click-through rates from your Google ad. And then once they're in, the on-site sales conversions, you know, and in email marketing, all those marketing issues, we said, if we can increase the percentage points here and there, we'll get the margin we want, right? And they weren't like, we need to increase it, the open rates by 50%. Actually, it was their open rates are pretty bad. It's like 5%. So that we had to increase pretty big, but it's also not a big effort. It was really about just really improving the subject lines, the subject headings, and then how to improve the click-through rates. But all that to say, it was, there's just these little percentage points here and there, but then collectively they get the outcomes you want as opposed to just going for more sales.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. And you know, looking at time and money as investments, how are you getting more time and more money out of those investments is huge. And what we're talking about here. Now, you guys have a book that came out called The Tandem Book. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, honey, tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Tandem, the Married Entrepreneur's Guide for Better Work-Life Balance. And it's all about how we met, a relationship, and then resolving conflict, strategizing. And then the second half of the book is all about business.
Which basically goes over the three pillars, right? Just some more detail and talk about pricing and margin, all that, and time, you know, where to spend time, how to assess where you should be spending your time.
Nice.
Right? So that's the big thing. So, you know, one little takeaway just on time is, you know, if you look at where you spend your time, really just like almost like journal it, like list down, line item, where you spend your time, and then figure out where you should be spending your time. What's mm-hmm. the high, where is the time, what activities would give you the best high growth, high return for your time? Mm-hmm. And that will grow the business. And then with the rest of the stuff, with the other 90% of it, you figure out how can you automate, delegate, or eliminate those areas, yeah. the other areas that are need to do, but maybe you shouldn't be doing it, or maybe you shouldn't be doing it now, mm-hmm. or maybe there's a tool that can automate some of that or to make it quicker, right? Like you're talking about. So yeah, you know, the first half of the book is a lot around relationships. Is how do you assess what's important in life? What does work-life balance mean to the two of you as husband and wife? And then how do you come together and then create the right boundaries between business and home to make sure we protect what matters most? So regardless of how busy you are, we have enough time in every day to make sure as husband and wife, we stay connected and feel connected. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take a lot of time. That's the thing. People think we have to spend so much time with each other to stay connected, but it really doesn't. But we just have to talk about that. So for us, first thing in the morning is, you know, our quiet time alone, and then together in our prayer time, quickly talk about the day. And then I take the dog for a walk and then we get going, right? So if that's all that happened that day, we'd feel connected because we started the day with each other anyway,
yeah.
as opposed to just running, you know, running out the door with our hair on fire as soon as you wake up. And then we plan in, you know, date night stuff and the weekenders or the quarterly getaways, that kind of stuff. And we got to like put those things in our calendar.
You have to be intentional, excuse me, because it's not going to happen just on its own. And those are things that are important to us, right? We spend the time on things that, you know, mean a lot. Otherwise, the business takes over because you give that all of your time, that's your baby, and then there's nothing left over for the marriage.
Yeah. So just block in, calendar in those things, those moments, the things that are most important to you. And then you backfill with everything else. But we do it the opposite, right? The business takes priority. That's what's on our calendar. And all our personal stuff, you fit in whenever you can. And you better hurry up and fill it in, because otherwise it's going to be that calendar spot's going to be filled with another business meeting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so really establishing that, those boundaries in between home and business, and then in the business, how do you, you know, a lot what we talked about, how do you improve the performance so you get more freedom back while the business grows? And yeah. those things are just how you scale a business, right? We're creating more optimization systems and processes in place to make the business be more efficient, more profitable, and can run without so much of your time and effort into yeah. it.
And for those of us with corporate jobs, I mean, if we think about when are we most productive at work, it's the day before we take off for a vacation. It's like we're doing exactly what Robert's talking about. We're eliminating meetings we don't need to go to. We're handing off and delegating tasks and responsibilities to people who can take care of it. And that was their job anyway, most likely. And then we're left with the most important things, and we knock them out with like high mm-hmm. degree of reliability, because the last thing we want is to get that phone call while we're at Disney World or on a cruise that says, hey, where are the numbers on blah, 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 or hey, this is missing something. It's like you get it knocked out perfectly mm-hmm. so you can hand it off and not worry about it for a week or two or for however long you take off. And so I'm sharing that because when we're talking about starting a business, it's kind of the same thing. Like pretend you're going on a vacation tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, what are the most important things to knock out right now? What do you need to delegate? And I love that. That you brought that up. Now, you also have a free giveaway for folks, Balance Business and Marriage Better. It's a nice download workbook. I'll have the link in the show notes, but just in case people remember long URLs, do you have it off the top of your head where they can remember it? But if not, go to the show notes, guys. It'll be beyond the rut/ whatever number this episode is, and I'll have the link there as well.
Well, what could be easier if you just go to our main website, marriedentrepreneur.co, and then there is a link, I think, at the top of the header.
Perfect. That's even easier. Do that, guys.
And then from there, you can access everything, right? Our book and our podcast and everything. So
yeah. That is the beauty of having your own website, everybody. Now, before we go, any final words of wisdom? Who gets to draw the lucky straw there?
You want to go first? Or?
Okay, I'll go. We didn't really talk about this earlier, but we have weekly meetings that we meet up at Monday at 3:30, and we talk about our finances. We talk about our relationship, where are we at emotionally? We talk about our calendar, all the different things that are important to us. We talk about, is there anything we need to resolve? Any decisions we need to make? We talk about that, and it helps so much. And then we get out our goals and our dreams, and we talk about that. Are we on track? So I would say looking over that stuff on a weekly basis, meeting up and talking about it.
Yeah, it just helps you kind of stay on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because too many times we're just two ships passing in the night, mm-hmm. and things get dropped because yeah. you're not focused on what your spouse is saying. Sometimes I don't know if that happens to you, Jerry, but
it does.
Yeah. Are you listening to me? Yeah, of course.
It's like, dang it, she's on to me. I gotta go. I got a thing.
and for me, I kind of said it earlier: is don't accept the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whenever you feel that tension between business and marriage or anything in life, you know, you feel like things are just a little out of whack. Is let's stop and pause and let's change it.
Yeah. Right? I love that.
You just got to be intentional about what you do, but with too much, we get stuck in a rut and we just accept mm-hmm. it. And so it can't be changed, but you got to be very intentional about it. And so just stop, pause, and talk with each other and say, okay, here's the issue. We don't like it. We need to change. What do we do about it? And then come up with a plan of action to fix it. And, you know, the pain is just a change.
Mm-hmm.
And which isn't really painful. It's more mental and emotional pain than it is anything else. But on the back end, you know, once you have create a new normal, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah. And it's worth it. It's worth it, everybody. Yeah. Robert, Kaylee, it was great to have you on here. And I'm glad that we were able to do a guest swap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
It's great.
I'm glad we were able to get connected.
Now, I hope you got a lot out of that episode like I did. I love talking with them. I stay in touch with Robert and Kaylee all the time because we're friends and we stay connected on things like LinkedIn and the socials, Facebook and so on. Now, if you want more, like how do I find their show? How do I find their book? How do I find related episodes of Beyond the Rut? Go to the show notes, beyondtherut.com/411. And if you're hearing this for the first time, check out the Patreon because that's what supports this show. So I could use your help. So go check it out, beyondtherut.com/Patreon. I'm sure there's a Patreon link as well, but I am working on that today to get it up and running. So when you hear this and you're like, yes, I am fully on board. I love your show. I want you to keep doing this and I want to be a part of that legacy. You can do that through your financial support by going to beyondtherut.com/Patreon. All right. I'm glad you joined me on this episode, and I look forward to joining you again on the next one. And if you're still mad about the April Fool's Day prank I did on April 1st, 2024, I'm sorry. I had to do it, you know, because danger is dramatic and warning labels should be too. It's just a weird dream of mine. I want to have a show where I just dramatically read the warning labels on everyday products just because. And, you know, if it helps people stay safe, hey, that's like a win-win. So keep an eye out for that. I might do that. Maybe it's a bonus for Patreon. Okay, I don't know where the Tigger thing came from, but what I want you to do now is, until the next episode, start thinking about what life looks like for you in your faith, family, and career. Define success for yourself and go live life beyond the rut. Take care.